Hello, friends. I have a few thoughts on building codes that I want to share. So the first is just, well, I'll give the one that made me hit record, and that is that the market has knowledge encoded in it, untold knowledge. I just think it's a fun concept that there is specific knowledge like expressing itself in what you can buy at the store. For example, and this an example of this is building codes. So I'm trying to figure out all the right ways to refinish an attic. And it's kind of confusing because building codes cascade. Like there's an international residential building code, and then which like countries kind of follow. There's a federal building code for like federal buildings mostly. But I think like the first real building code that applies to me is the New York State building code. And then from there, there's more specific local building codes. So there's, I don't know if there's a county building code, but there is definitely a town. And then the village I live in within the town has its own like localizations basically. So you start with like a base thing, kind of like CSS, like it cascades. Like you start with a base layer of building code at the state level or the highest level, whatever that is. It might be the federal level. And then your more localized codes are like additions to that. And those codes can't make the other codes more lenient, or at least don't in general. They make them more stringent. So that's kind of the direction of codes. It's like instead of it being a minimum 12 feet of distance between, you know, outlets, a local code might be 6 feet or something like that. I don't know. That's not an actual example, but okay, so that's building codes. And the thing that I find it, so Mitch, friend Mitch, who sometimes listens to this show, he bought a house and he's just tearing it up. He's tearing it up. And this is Mitch style. He's extremely savvy and creative and ambitious. So he buys this house that's like kind of a fixer-upper, and there's this, in the middle of the house is this like really big chimney fireplace with like all like sorts of brick. It's just a massive structure of brickwork and cinder block and all this stuff that could be holding up the whole house. And he's like, I want to take that out. So within like a few days, weeks maybe of getting the house, he starts just destroying this entire fireplace. And then before you know it, he's got walls put up because he's going to take out the main wall that it's attached to, which is load bearing. So he puts up temporary 2x4 studded walls like in his living room that like if they're knocked down, the house freaking collapses, you know. And he buys these massive timber beams and somehow gets them in his house. And he has to like take a door out to like fit them where he needs to fit them so that he can remove this load bearing wall and put up his own beam. And to put up his own beam, he rigs up a chain fall. He cuts out, there already is like a convenient hole in the ceiling from where the fireplace was. And he puts up a chain fall hanging from like the roof so that he can lift this beam without needing a bunch of people to help him. It's just, this is Mitch style. He's a wild man. And so I'm going over there and I'm just like looking at it, you know, and he's like, yeah, and I think I'm going to have to actually shrink this staircase a little bit, take a notch out of the staircase to fit this beam in. And I'm like, dude. I keep saying like I'm in deep in the building codes and I'm like, this isn't code. That's not code. This isn't code. This can't be code. Do you know what the code is on this? You know? And he's like, dude, stop it with the codes. And it's just funny because his style and it, you know, and for the most of my life, I haven't really known much about building codes. You just do stuff and you talk to people and you avoid the common, you know, catastrophic errors. But my brother and I, if you go to my parents' house, there is wiring from like 20 years ago that my brother and I did when we were like 15, just putting in like a lighting fixture and like, all right, well, let's learn how to wire stuff. And there's some not code stuff that we've done that River can now stick his fingers in at my parents' house. Like, yeah, like very specific things that are not good because we were dumb and my dad let us do more than he probably should have. But anyway, so yeah, so Mitch's attitude towards building codes is like, you know, whatever. And so we're comparing styles. I'm like obsessed with the codes right now. I'm trying to design the perfect whatever and make it all like prim and proper, you know, and he's just freewheeling it, you know, and there's merit to both ways. And we were comparing the different ways, whatever. And I just sort of realized, I was like, you know what? I'm not like the building code. I don't think this is like revealing something about the way that I am. I think it does reveal somewhat about the way that I've become, much more caring about legality, safety, resale, big boy things, I guess, boring adulty stuff, and less just like, let's just see what happens, you know? But anyway, the thing that I'm here to say is that it just was clear to me that's like, oh, in this scenario, building code, well, here are two thoughts. One, I'm doing TDD. I am mocking this all up in SketchUp, and I'm trying to fit everything in its place. That's actually like the first interesting thing here, is what Mitch is doing is building it as he goes. And there's pros and cons to that. The pro is he's never wasting time on decisions that don't need to be made. Because like I might be wasting a ton of time figuring something out that will just, the whole class of decision will just remove itself down the road. Because let's say I'm not even going to put a heater there. So all that time wasted, I wouldn't have had to waste if I just solve the decisions I need to, you know, solve the problems I need to solve as they arise, which is what you do when you're just freeballing it. And programming is a lot like that. Like you're programming and there's like two modes of programming. There's the kind of plan ahead mode, which I think TDD encapsulates that spirit pretty well. And then there's, you know, just kind of flying by the seat of your pants, and both have their merits. When you're flying by the seat of your pants, you can end up down long paths and then end up having to back out of them and go around and redo them. So they have their own forms of inefficiency, and it's, you know, the same goes for the TDD approach. And I'm trying the TDD approach, which I've never tried for building, really. I've like built stuff. I have this deck in the back. I have, you know, different stuff that I've built, and I never TDD. It's just like, all right, we're just going to solve these problems as they come up, and it's fine. But even whatever. Okay. So that's that. That's like one kind of thought that I had. That's like an atomic unit of thought that I'm taking a TDD approach and he's not. And it's kind of interesting. But the thought about the building codes is that this is the funny part. I have it in my head that like, you have to abide by the letter of the law. And a lot of these are accessibility building codes. Not all of these building codes apply to me. Not all of them have to do with my safety. Some of them have to do with accounting for fat people fitting through doorways or you know, people who are disabled and like don't have, I don't know, whatever, or like extension cords on the ground, whatever. All these things, headrooms, like distance, rise of the run of staircases, placement of windows and egress and all these things. These are standards, you know, and they're in place so that buildings are generally accessible to people with disabilities and different shapes and sizes and whatever. And it reminded me a lot of web development and how the further I get down this path, the more I try to adhere to these accessibility practices and performance practices, whatever, these best practices thingies. But you lose some of it. So actually Mitch as a programmer is much more like he is as a builder compared to me. And something I just found interesting is just like, yeah, you know, and there's code nerds. There's code nerds who just like, it's always like this. It's like this with religion. There's legal, you know, religion, religious, like letter of the law type stuff where like, do this, don't do that. Here's the formula, get into heaven, stuff like that. And there's people who really fixate on that. It's all about the rules, you know, and same with building. And it's the same with web development. And then there are people who are on, you know, it's a spectrum. There's people on all ends of the spectrum. And I'm always kind of oscillating. I think Hannah is a big influence on me and having a family and having to be more responsible and safe and, you know, nerdy about all that stuff and following rules. But it's just interesting to think of it as like, I think there is a trap where you think it's the right way. You know, there's this quote, Jacob Collier. I just was like watching a video with him and the quote was, people who know what they're doing don't make anything interesting or something like that. I don't know. People who know what they're doing don't make interesting things. And I thought that was like a good kind of quote. It's like a reminder that like, you know, when I started LiveWire, I didn't know what I was doing. And started Alpine, it's the same thing. And I always felt like, you know, the big bad JS people who know what they're, I always feel like I'm hiding in the shadows of them. And I recently felt that way with the Remix fella. And I feel that way with him. He's a great example of, he's the code inspector. And by, I don't mean he's both, but he's the building code inspector in our world. It's like, hey, does this thing work with all the keyboard shortcuts and all the ARIA everything? And can you use it when the connection's offline and when your connection's really slow? And are all the renders optimistic and blah, blah, blah? And it's like, that's great that that's a value, but here's my problem with that. Here's my problem with that. And so this is Ryan Florence. And from what I know of him, he seems like a decent guy and a smart guy, but his thing is doing things the, you know, the quote unquote right way. And it's all about, this is a long meandering one, but it's all about values, you know? That's what it is. It's a trade-off of values. And I think there's this fallacy that you can slip into where you think that it's actually a spectrum of right and wrong. And you're getting the job done attitude is on the wrong end of the spectrum, and the going to the ends of the earth to make it as, you know, perfect as possible is right. And you should always be reaching towards right and avoiding wrong. And I think that's false, because you're really building things to meet needs. And there's all sorts of competing values of performance, clarity. You know, there's things that, that aren't necessarily taken into account, like how, what's the cognitive overhead and maintainability for other developers? What's the performance implications of doing X, Y, and Z? What are the development maintenance implications, the bundle size implications, the just simplicity, the usage on a Kindle, you know, I don't know, just other things. So I say that all to say that there are, I constantly default to thinking about web development in terms of like, all right, what are the building codes? Which the closest thing we have is like ARIA, you know, standards, which you can like go and look up and whatever, but they're not, it's not the law. It's not like a bit building something and getting an inspection. That doesn't exist on the web. And I get it. Like, it's good to build accessible web apps, but like, here's a thought experiment. This is like a tree falls thing. If you build an app and the only person, you build an app for one person and they are perfectly, they can see really well, they don't use a screen reader. Should you add those labels? You know, should you care about that? Or let's say you're building an app for a person with one arm. They don't type on the keyboard. They only use the mouse. You know, do you have to make things keyboard accessible? And the answer is no, you don't. That's the answer. So I think that's an interesting thought experiment that like, who are you building for? Is this a back office dashboard? That's a very different thing than a, you know, a social media application or even a government application or some, you know, and that's why like federal government buildings have different building codes than non-federal government ones, because the government ones have to adhere to tons of these like specific accessibility things so that all citizens, you know, can use this thing accessibly. So whatever, all that, I don't know what this turned into here, but let me keep going. And I thought that was an interesting thing with building codes, that like, I'm an accessibility nerd now while I'm building. And that can be a hindrance. I think it's important to remember that it's not the law. It's not the law. You don't have to do that. So then here's another, and it takes bravery to, that's what it is. It takes bravery to not know what you're doing. Yep. That's what it is. Yeah. So that's a thought. There's a lot of thoughts here that could each be their own individual episode or riff or post or whatever. So then the last thing, the reason I started talking about any of this in the first place was the market containing encoded knowledge. And so all these building codes that I'm trying to figure out, like specific things like light fixtures. Okay, if I put these light fixtures in, like, what's all the code surrounding light fixtures? How many, and not even non-code, but like, how many do I need in a certain, well, this isn't actually a great example. Let's think of, you know, putting in a heat pump, a heating unit. And it's like, what's the maximum length I can have these lines, the like coolant lines to this heating unit? It's like, does it matter that much? Can I run these 50 feet to the other side of the house so that I can put the unit on the other side of the house? If you go to the store and shop for lines, you'll see like a 12-foot line and a 15 or 25-foot line, and you'll see a 50-foot line. And that, the knowledge that's encoded there is that you can use a 50-foot line. Okay, it's not like absolute knowledge, but it is practical, helpful knowledge. And the same goes with, you know, even something like your shop. This happens to me a lot. Like, let's say you're shopping and you're looking into these heat pumps, and right next to these heat pumps, there's hole saw kits. You know, I've experienced this with decking. If you go to buy, like you go to Home Depot and you go to look at decking, like planks and stuff, they'll usually put like a shelf of deck screws right next to that. Where if you go to the deck screw section or to the screw section, you don't freaking know what's the right, you know, like enamel coating and what's the right distance, you know, the right like length of these screws and ratings and colors and whatever. But they make it really easy. There's like knowledge encoded even in just a store because of shopping patterns. But yeah, also just what products are available. What dimensions are these, you know, these things in? I'm trying to think of another example because I definitely experienced it when I was looking up like, you know, standard, like insulation bats even sort of tell you what's a common distance between studs, you know, and insulation vent, like rafter vents, like are often 24 inches or 16 inches, which tells you that roof rafters can often either be 24 inches or 16 inches. And same thing with skylights and all the, you know, there's this knowledge about the world encoded in the sizing of a thing you're buying. So anyway, I just think that's an interesting thing. And it's another tool in my tool belt. I know it sounds kind of hand wavy and wild, but it's a helpful thing that I'm sitting here in SketchUp. I'm trying to lay stuff out and I'm working with ChatGPT, occasionally looking at the actual building codes, but mostly just ChatGPT and just trying to figure out like put all the pieces together. But a new tool for me is open up the Home Depot website, look at, so doors is a great example. There's codes for distance for door, sizing, you know? But if you want to know like what's actually up, you go to Home Depot and you look at the size of doors because chances are they're not going to be selling doors that aren't up to code, you know? So there's that. I don't know. Just some random thoughts about codes and stuff. I'll see you.